Parshas Mitzayra. In the previous parsha, Tazria, we have learned many, many rules, many dinim, about a person who found on his skin white spots, that he has to show it to a kohen to find out whether or not this is a tzora'as. And the Torah gives special instructions to the kohen to be able to check for this. In Parshas Mitzayra, the Torah is going to tell us how someone who has tzora'as can become clean from his tzora'as. First of all, of course, he has to do teshuvah. As we have explained in Parshas Tazria, that although our Chachamim tell us that there are many, many reasons why a person can get a tzora'as, but the main reason is because of speaking Lashon Hara. Because he spoke bad words on another Yid, Hashem gives him a tzora'as in order that he should do teshuvah. Yes, when he sees that he got a tzora'as, he has to be separated from everyone, and this gives him enough time to think over his ways and see what he has to do to improve himself. And when he does teshuvah, Hashem will take the tzora'as away from him. The tzora'as will just disappear. Now, after the tzora'as disappears, it does not mean that the person can come back home and start living a normal life yet. He first has to get clean from the tum'ah. He became tamei. And there is a very special way how this person is going to become clean from that tum'ah. And that's what this Parsha Mitzayra is talking all about. It begins with the words, Zayis tihiye Torah HaMitzayra. This shall be the law of the person who is called Mitzayra. The person who has a tzora'as is called Mitzayra. And the Parsha is going to tell us how he becomes clean. Our Chachamim tell us that even in the word Mitzayra, we can find a hint to the sin that he has done for which he got tzora'as. The word Mitzayra is like the word Moitzi Shem Ra, one who brings out a bad name. Yes, by speaking Lashon Hara about another person, it makes that other person have a bad name, that people don't want to speak to him anymore, people don't want to deal with that person anymore. And because he made people separate themselves from that person whom he spoke about, Hashem is paying him back, mida keneged mida, a measure for a measure, that now he will have to be separated from all people until he does teshuvah. Now, as you remember, when we learned Parshas Tazria, it talks about a person who comes to the kohen and shows him the white spot that's on his skin, and it does not yet show the signs that it's tzora'as. All it shows that it could be tzora'as, but the kohen is not sure yet. The kohen tells him to wait a week, and then the kohen would look at it again to see whether or not it is tzora'as. But do you know, sometimes Hashem makes that immediately the person has tzora'as in a way that the kohen can immediately tell him, yes, you have tzora'as, you are tamei. Our Chachamim tell us that it depends what kind of aveira, what kind of sin the person did to deserve tzora'as. Our Chachamim tell us of many, many aveiras that can cause a person to have tzora'as. Amongst them, murder, worshipping idols, or not following the Jewish laws of marriage the way a Yid should. These are kind of aveiros that can cause a person to get tzora'as. But in these cases, Hashem doesn't give the person immediately the tzaras in a way that everyone can see that it is for sure tzaras. Hashem first makes a white spot on the person. He shows it to the kohen. And the kohen says, maybe yes, maybe not. Let's wait a week. And later, when the week is over, the kohen looks at it again. If the person did teshuva, then Hashem takes away the tzaras, and the person never became really tameh. But there is sometimes when Hashem makes the person immediately tameh, and that is if the tzaras came because of lashon hara. A person who speaks lashon hara would immediately get the full measure of tzaras, that the kohen can see immediately that it is tzaras, he is in a tzaira, and he is tameh. This just shows us how serious is the sin of lashon hara. Our chachamim tell us there are many reasons why lashon hara is worse than many other sins. First of all, when a person speaks lashon hara, the only way to do teshuva is not just by asking Hashem to forgive you, but like any avera which is between you and another yid, that it's not enough just to ask Hashem to forgive you, you have to ask the other yid to forgive you for what you did wrong to him. So this would mean that in order to be forgiven for lashon hara, you're going to have to go over to that person on whom you spoke lashon hara and ask him to forgive you. Do you think that's so easy to do? Is it going to be so comfortable? Let's say you spoke lashon hara on your brother or on your friend or on a relative or someone else. Are you so easily just going to walk over to him and say, excuse me, I'm so sorry, I spoke lashon hara about you. Can you please forgive me? You know it's not easy to do that. You know it's not easy to go over and admit such a thing to a person on whom you spoke lashon hara. So what happens? Since it's not easy, so you hold yourself back from asking the person to forgive you. So what remains? The avera. Yes, the avera stays with you because you didn't ask him to forgive you yet. And sometimes it can be that you spoke lashon hara on a lot of people together, so you have to go look for each one of them and ask them to forgive you. It's very hard. Especially if, let's say, one person traveled to another country. Or someone who chas v'shalom passed away during the time. How are you going to ask him for forgiveness? So this is one of the reasons why lashon hara is such a serious sin. Because it's something the other person doesn't get rid of so easily. It's very hard to do tshuva on it. Another reason why lashon hara is so bad is because, let's say a person steals, or even if a person murdered chas v'shalom, and he does tshuva, Hashem will forgive him. But when it comes to lashon hara, some people think, it's not really that bad, you know. What difference can a few words make? So I said a few words. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything with my hands or my feet. I just said a few words and the words just disappeared into the air. That's all. But the truth is, as it says in Pirkei Avos, that everything that a yid does gets recorded in the Shemayim, in heaven. Everything gets written down. Everything that you do, or everything that you speak, that's right. Every single word that comes out of your mouth gets recorded in Shemayim, in heaven. And until a person does tshuva, those words will not get erased. Even more so, the Torah tells us that Hashem even records your thoughts, what you think about. If you have good thoughts, or chas v'shalom yetzahara thoughts, everything gets recorded. Nothing goes lost. So when a person says a few words of lashon hara, even if he just says three words, then those three words stay. They don't go away. Unless the person does teshuvah. But usually people think it's just words. That's all. They don't realize that words are so important. From every word you say, a malach, an angel, is created and goes up to the Shemayim. So if you're saying good words, you are creating good angels, good malachim. And a person who speaks the opposite, chas v'shalom, creates the opposite kind of malachim. And you know, from all the creatures in the world, the only creature that is able to speak is the person. That's right. Animals don't know how to speak. Birds, fish, crawling creatures, nobody knows how to speak. True, they may communicate with each other. They can make different sounds in order to give messages to each other. But they cannot speak like we can. So this is a gift that Hashem has given us. Hashem gave us a special gift of speech. Now, if somebody gives you a gift, are you going to use it to go against him? Let's say somebody gives you a pencil as a gift. Are you going to use the pencil to write bad things against him? Or you're going to show him how thankful you are by using it out for good things. Hashem gave us the gift of speech. We should use it only for good things, only for good purposes. Yes, we should train ourselves to be very, very careful with our words. Our tongue happens to be very, very soft. You know that the tongue is the softest part of your body. And it moves quicker than any other part of your body. It can move around so fast. And Hashem did this for a special reason, in order that you should be able to say thousands of words of Torah in just a few minutes. And that's only because your tongue moves very quick. So let's use our tongue for Kedusha, for holy things, for blessing people, talking about the good things of another Yid. That's right, praise another Yid. And if you know that another Yid did something wrong, chas v'shalom, instead of looking bad on him with a bad eye, look at him with a good eye. Judge him favorably. Like it says in Pirkei Avos, Havedanes kol ha'adam lechaf sechus. Judge everybody favorably. Look at them with a good eye, and even if you think they did something wrong, picture in your mind that maybe it was a very, very hard test, a difficult test that they went through. It was very hard for them to pass the test. Just like we know with ourselves that there are many things that we do wrong and we just ignore it. And we don't want anyone else to notice it or to talk about it. Well, that's what we should do to someone else. Always look at the good of another Yid. And when you train your eyes to look at the good of another Yid, you'll start seeing only good things in every single Yid. But the person about whom the Torah speaks in Parshas Tazria, the person who becomes a Metzaira, and in this parasha it talks about how he has to get clean, that is someone who did not look at another Yid with a good eye. He looked at another Yid with a bad eye. And that's why he ended up speaking Lashon Hara and then getting the Tzaras. Our Chachamim also tell us that if we take a look at the word that the Torah uses for Tzaras, the Torah says the word Nega, Nun Gimel Ayin, Nega Tzaras, which means an affliction of the Tzaras. And Nega is something very bad that no one wants to get. But if we take the letters Nun Gimel Ayin, you'll notice the Nun and Gimel is on the right side, and the ayin is on the left. What does the word ayin mean? It means an eye with which we look. So, when a yid looks at someone else with a bad eye, that means he's looking with the left eye, with a bad eye to notice the bad things in a Jew. Then, chas v'shalom, he ends up with a nega, that the eye is on the left, seeing the bad things, and that's how he gets the tzaras. But when the person does teshuvah, and instead of looking at him with a bad eye, he looks at him with a good eye, with the right side, so if we take the ayin from nega and switch it over to the right side, so instead of reading nega, if you put the ayin on the right, it becomes oineg. Oineg means a pleasure, a delight. Yes, because this does bring a pleasure, a delightful life of friendliness, brotherhood, caring for each other, the true Ahavas Yisrael, filling with all the Yidden just like one big family. And this gives Hashem the true delight and pleasure, and He then blesses us with all the good things that we need. As we say in our tefillos, Barchenu Avinu, Hashem our Father, bench us, Kulanu Ke'echad, for we are all as one. Yes, that's why it is so important to have Ahavas Yisrael and look at everyone with a good eye. Now, I said before, this parsha is going to tell us how the Metzeda is going to get cleaned and how he's going to get rid of the Tumah. The Torah tells us that there are three steps that the Metzayda has to do in order to become completely clean. The first step is that when he is outside of the city, away from all the Yidden, and he notices that the Tzaras went away from him, then he has to send someone to call the Kohen. When the Kohen comes to him, the Kohen takes a look and sees, yes, the tzaras went away. Okay, now you can come back into the city, but there are certain instructions that the Torah tells us about before the person can come back into the city. First of all, the Torah tells us that the Kohen can only take a look at him during the daytime. It shouldn't be during the night. Also, it is better that it should be the same Kohen who told him that he was Tamei should now come and check him again to see if he is clean from the Tzara'as. When the Kohen sees that he's clean from the Tzara'as, the Kohen is going to start doing very special things. First of all, the Kohen is going to ask that they should bring him two birds. Yes, two live kosher birds. Then, he asks for three more things. Number one, eight erez. That is a stick that comes from the very, very tall cedar trees. Number two, sheni selaas. That is a woolen thread which is colored red. Number three, the azive. That is a special kind of branch. It's a very small growing thing from the ground. When they bring the Kohen these three things, then the Kohen asks for one more thing. A kli cheres, an earthen vessel. That's like a cup which is made out of earthenware. It's like a kind of clay. With mayim chayim, live water from a well that's poured into this cup. This cup should be at least a revi'is, like 4 ounces. Now, what does the Kayan do with all of these things? He has two live birds. He has the stick from the Erez. He has the red woolen thread. And he has the Azev. And the cup of Mayim Chayim, of well water. So the first thing that the Kayan does, he takes one of the birds, the better one of the two, and he shechts it, he slaughters it. He then lets the blood drain into the cup of water. Yes, he squeezes out some of the blood into the cup of water. It should be enough blood that you should notice in the water that the color changed because of the blood. Then he takes this slaughtered bird and he buries it right there on that place. There where he was standing, he digs a hole in the ground and he buries it. Then the Kohen takes four things together. He takes the stick, he takes the Azev branch, and he's going to take the red woolen string and tie the stick and the Azev branch together. So now you have three things together. You have the stick, the Azev branch, and the red string around it. Then he takes the live bird, the one that's left over, and he takes the edge of the wing of the live bird, and he dips everything together into the cup that has the Mayim Chayim, which turned a little bit red from the blood. That's right. He doesn't dip the whole bird into it. All he dips in is the stick, the Azev branch, together with the red thread, and part of the bird into the cup of the Mayim Chayim. Then when he takes it out of the cup, it's dripping with water. What does he do? He sprinkles it seven times on the back of the hand of the Mitzaira. That's right. So now the Mitzaira has on the back of his hand the water sprinkled on him from the mixture of the blood and water. Now after the Kohen finished doing that, then the Kohen takes the live bird and he walks back into the city. And after he gets there, he picks up the bird and throws it in the direction up in the air towards the outside of the city, that the bird should fly away. If the bird turned around and flew back to the city, the Kohen has to catch it and send it out again, again and again, until the bird flies away. After he took care of the live bird and sent it away, then the Kohen is going to go back outside to the Mitzaira, and he's going to do one more thing, and that is, he's going to shave the Mitzaira, all the hair on his head, and his beard, his eyebrows, everything. He has to shave him off completely. Yes, the Torah is telling him it's a mitzvah to do so, to shave him off completely. He shouldn't have any hairs left. If the Kohen left over even just two hairs, then the Mitzaira does not become clean. He has to shave him off completely. After he shaved him completely, then the Mitzaira goes to a mikveh, tovels himself. He also tovels his clothing. And with this, he finished the first step of becoming clean. Now he is able to go back into the city. And in the city, he's going to begin the second step of becoming clean. What does he do in the city? In the city, he has to wait seven more days. That's right. He has to count 7 days. He can come back to his family. He can come back into his house. But he can't go to the Beis HaMikdash yet. he can't eat anything which is holy. Like, let's say if he is a kohen, he would not be able to eat truma, which is holy. During these 7 days, he's still a little bit tamei. Not at all as tamei as he was before. Before, when he was outside of the city, he was so tamei that if he went into someone's house, everything automatically became tamei. Even if he didn't touch those things, he just walked into the house, everything became tamei. But now, if he walks into his house, nothing will become tamei. Only what he will touch with his hands or any part of his body, that will become tamei. But not for just walking in. For 7 days, he's going to stay away from the regular family life. Although he's going to be home, but he's not going to live with his family just like he did before he became a Metzaira. And then after the 7 days are over, the Kohen is going to come to him again. The Kohen is going to shave him once more, just like he did a week before. That's right, he's getting shaven for a second time. And after the shaving, he toivels himself, he toivels his clothing, and that evening, after the 7 days are over, he is able to eat truma. Yes, he has to wait until the evening for 7 full days to pass by, and then he can eat truma. But he can't go to the Beis HaMikdash yet, even though he's not tamei anymore. But he's not completely forgiven. He's not completely ready to go into the Beis HaMikdash until one more day, that is the 8th day. And that is the 3rd step. On the next day, which is the 8th day, since he came back into the city, he has to bring karbanis. The Torah tells us exactly which kind of karbanis he has to bring. And after he brings those karbanis, he will be completely clean, and everything will be back to normal, back to the way it was before he became a Metzaira. And even better, because now he is about teshuva. He did teshuva for what he did wrong, and now he's going to be extra careful never again for the rest of his life to speak Lashon Hara. Of course, someone who goes through all the hard work that he has to go through, being a Metzaira, would never, ever want to speak Lashon Hara again. Now, the kind of karbanis that the Torah tells him to bring are all the kinds of karbanis that we learned about in Parshas Vayikra. We learned about all different kind of karbanis, the karban asham, a karban chatas, a karban oila, a karban mincha. He's going to bring one of each karban. Why? Why should a person who just did one thing wrong have to bring so many different kinds of karbanis? This is in order to teach us how serious is the Avera from Lashon Hara, that it needs so many karbanos that a person should be able to be forgiven. And once he brings them, he is completely forgiven, and he is as precious in Hashem's eyes, just like the greatest tzaddik.